Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 194. This is part two, Rejoicing and Mourning Our Privilege. Today is Sunday, May 15th, 2011.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz. That's it.
Thank you, Pearl, for that introductory prayer. Higher purpose, higher purpose, higher purpose. Keep our focus, keep our focus. Yeah! I am your hostess with the mostest, your web madam, your chief marketing technologist, all rolled into one female body of work. Located in North Minneapolis in the month of May, the season of spring. Thank you, God, for spring. Thank you for budding trees, green grass, little Johnny jump-ups, spring flowers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How many know after winter, spring is God's best blessing? And then comes my birthday, May 21st. You can know the date. Have you seen the posters? Yep. You can know the date, the Lord's return. Well, according to the Bible, nobody knows the date, even the Lord, except for the Father. But let's say that would be the best, the very, very, very best birthday present I could get would be the Lord's return, May 21st, 2011, at 58 years. It's all over, and away we go. Hallelujah. Okay, so things are going much better. Last month, I had the Mean Reds, and if anybody were to listen and watch Breakfast at Tiffany's, which is one of my absolutely favorite movies, you will know that the Mean Reds are worse than the Blues. The Mean Reds were caused by a computer meltdown, but we're all over that now. We still haven't found editing software, which we'll need to do. We're just kind of inching our way back. It's kind of like being thrown from a horse. You know, you just kind of, yeah, you kind of pat him on the head and, you know, sit in the saddle. You keep it kind of tied up at the fence. That's where we're at with the computer right now. We're just kind of getting to know one another again. Anyways, that's a whole nother issue. But I am happy to be here. I'm so happy. God, thank you. I'm so happy for spring. And you know, one of the things I really miss in Minnesota in the winter? The birds chirping. The birds chirping. In fact, I actually had a bird chirping clock that for each hour it would chirp a different bird, and it broke. So this winter was, I was beside myself because I didn't even have my bird chirping clock. So just a hint, if the Mercedes, the night on the town and all this other doesn't pan out for me, a chirping bird clock, that's what we're looking for. So enough of all of this. Let's get to the business at hand. That's right. It's Pastor Paul's podcast, isn't it? Okay, here we go. These are the messages for the month of May. Unless the Lord builds, we labor in vain, which is a Mother's Day message. And I thought that was kind of clever, isn't it? Timing. We labor in vain. So there you go, mothers out there. Your children. Ooh, I know some of you may think that you labored in vain. I know my mother would never think that, but some mothers may think that. Rejoicing and mourning, our privilege. The natural mind hates God. That I know is true. Yeah, it just stands to reason. It's true. Doubting. A doubting Thomas. Okay? So there we have it, the four messages in the month of May, the month of the Lord's return. So if he does come back May 21st on my birthday, ooh, that means the last message we're not going to hear, which is doubting. And we won't have to doubt because we won't be around. So that'll take care of that. Be sure to listen both Friday for part one and on Sunday is always part two. Now, I hope that you are subscribing so that the message is sent to your phone and you can listen when you're stuck in traffic. You can also send the messages to someone who you feel would get as much out of these messages as you are. And I know if you are listening, you are getting a lot out of these messages because I know I did. And I still listen to every message. And by the way, I do live tweets on Thursday. So when I'm recording Pastor Paul's message from the cassette into the digital format, being the chief marketing technologist that I am, I understand these terms, digital. When I record these and put them in the digital MP3 format and load them on our server, you can just take these messages and redistribute them. Oh yeah, getting back to Thursday. Thursday is what I call live tweets inside. When I'm recording and something just clicks, you know, it clicks, I'll do a live tweet about what that is that clicks. And then what I do with the live tweets, because one time I went to Twitter and I looked and I didn't find my tweets and some of them were missing and maybe they had fail whale and, you know, the big fish. See, it makes sense. They have the fail whale, the big fish, which is what happened to me last month. Yeah, so it's the computer fish, okay? Anyways, so what I do is I do the live tweets and then I post them on the blog in order. So it's like, you know, I'm doing a post, which I've never have been able to quite get to that yet to do other posts. So I do a live tweets inside post. Now, I think what would be really cool is if people use the live tweets inside hash tag. I better say tag when I say hash, you know, hashtag. What I think would be really cool would be is if when you're listening to the message and you're like getting something out of it and you feel like a real click, like you need to tweet about it, you can do a live tweets inside and then use the hashtag. These are technology terms. I can go look live tweets inside hashtag. Hey, doubting Thomas. He clicked with, you know, a higher purpose. There you go. we're on the same page. That's not a technology. That's just kind of a, you know, an old school term. Anyways, enough. By the way, you also can, when you're listening to this, you know, I can only do one of these intros in the very beginning of the month. It's very difficult for me to do this intro. So I'm just, it's very difficult. So I'm trying different formats. This one is really, it's longer, like 9 minutes we have right now. So we're like 10 minutes into this. Feel free to just fast forward, which I'm sure that you do anyways. Do not fast forward during Pastor Paul's messages. You don't want to miss one single pause in his message. Have a great month of May. Remember, May 21st is the Lord's return and my birthday. And if it all works out, we're out of here. God bless you.
That's where insanity takes over. Say amen. I think there's a whole lot of people that are insane and don't even know it. Well, I don't even know what insanity is. Insanity, I believe, is to be sane and treat people insanely. I mean, you're supposed to have it together and you don't have it together. You don't love people. You don't care about people. You desert in a minute. At any kind of a situation, you're gone. You heard it in my feelings. Said the wrong thing. Come on now. Okay, I mean, the original sin right now, you see it on TV, it's a fable. Use it in commercials. They'll have Eve out there eating on an apple. Huh? And offering it over here to Adam. Then they'll have some kind of an ad below it. Grace is ridiculed. Total. You know, the grace of God is the only message that ever was, that can't ever be, and it's ridiculed, and even in the church of God, grace is ridiculed. Is His grace sufficient, or isn't it? And people will argue over the grace of God. Well, His grace is sufficient to save you and keep you under that hour, but in your instance, some years back, I had a man come to me and he says, Paul, this and this and this happened. I don't condemn you. Well, I said, you can't condemn me. Think about what you say before you say anything now. I said, you can't condemn me. See, there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, and you're not my judge. Are you my judge? Do you want to be my judge? See, in the measure that you judge me and you mete it out to me, it's going to go back to you. Well, I still love you. I said, wait a minute. You're commanded to love me. You don't have no choice in this matter, fella. I mean, you still love me even though? I said, you don't have no choice in the matter. You are commanded to love me. So get with it. Did you know that? That we are commanded to love one another. You know why we're commanded to? We do not want to. Don't you tell your children that? I want you two kids to get along! Whap! Bam! Huh? And they're in there fighting, and they're in there giggling for a while in their beds, and then pretty soon they're fighting in there. And you come in there and they're both sitting up and their hair is all tossed and the pillows are all over. Oh, he hit me! Will you hit me first? Back and forth. He's not looking. I'm going to tell you one time only. I want you guys to start getting along. If you aren't going to give along, I'm going to give you both. Red bottoms. You understand that? Now you understand red bottom, don't you? And you leave the room and they're in there laughing. And pretty soon they're fighting again. What do they end up? Red bottoms. How many are hearing this? See, because it's become old hat, the gospel. Old hat for the super beings. Have you ever seen the super beings yet? Three-piece suit? Hair comb? I mean, there is so much spray on that hair. If you bumped into them, you'd crack it and it'd fall off in the floor. Huh? The shoes, the pants, just right. Hit just right. Creases, you could cut somebody if you got too close to them. The suit is tailored. It's tapered in. It's just right. The tie is on. The mic is just right. Tucked underneath. And, oh my, peacock time. Some of them even have to suffer because they got girdles on. And that's what we come to. Are you hearing it? Super beings, the master race. In the wrong race, the rat race. See, they're going to change the world. There's a group that's going to change the world with a moral code. Or a set of doctrinal truths. Or positive thinking. Or how-to books. I think it says something about that in Ecclesiastes. Let me look it up. Oh, here. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of the wise men are like goads and masters of these collections and are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. And so all the books they have, and all the codes they have, and all the moral majorities they have, doesn't mean anything. It's vain. Or communism, or free enterprise. It's all vanity. See, nothing is going to change outside of a person being born again. The new birth is what changes the person. See, this latter-day gospel can't save anybody. Because it doesn't have enough faith to believe that they're forever saved. It's sort of a gospel of compromise is what it turns out to be. Because a monster has been created called progress. Oh, God, progress. Where is the world progressing towards now, pray tell? Towards hell. See, the guy says, what do you ever think is going to happen to the world? I said, well, the world is going to go to hell. Well, that's pretty negative. We're going to go down here to the Astrodome. We're going to go down here to the Dumb Dome. And we're going to get all the church people. We're going to have 50,000 people there, and we're going to pray for peace. I said, well, don't waste your breath, because it says in the end they're going to yell out peace, peace, and there will be no peace. There will be no peace. God came once with peace. Now he's going to come with a rod. And then you'll have peace. 1,000 years of it. But with a rod, because people won't want it. Then the old devil's going to be unchained and everybody's going to go flocking towards him. And so we have progress that tears down. Oh, I see them being torn down houses and blocks of houses. You do that Dumb Dome down there. They're tearing down all Franklin Avenue and they're going to build. I said it for fun, but I kind of thought, you know, they're dumb enough to do that. I said, you know what they'll do from Franklin Avenue? They'll build sort of a skyway that'll go right to the Dumb Dome. And I was talking to one of the owners in the building. He says, you know what they're going to build? They're going to build one of them things that'll go right to the Dumb Dome. And the parking lots and everything will be on Franklin Avenue. And all roads will lead to the Dumb Dome. Progress. So nobody will be able to live on Franklin Avenue. And they'll take over, they'll just take over and tear everything down and tear everybody's life up. Tear it down. Tear down the old and spray for roaches and rats. Move the people into reservations. Do you think that just only Indian people live on reservations? What do you call this right here on the north side? This is a reservation. I got my reservations about reservations. Say amen. Well, what do you think the ghetto is? It's a reservation. Say amen, somebody. It's a reservation. What do you think all the ghettos of all the world are? They're reservations. It's crowding people into a little area until it becomes popular to move them for the Dumb Dome or some other kind of enterprise. Knock it all down. Spray for bugs. Spray for this. Spray for that. How many are hearing this? And then open up some kind of a thing and all the people, where did they go? Well, I'll tell you what I'm after. I'm after for factories down here. I'm after for things like that. I think if there's going to be progress, there's going to be progress coming from the church. See, but it's become so it's not an infallible revelation of God. It's not divine. And I think this monster is called progress. It's not inspired anymore. Never mentions the blood, never mentions justification by faith, and it's sneered at. And so now men are supposed to be saved by doubt. I am myself built very real hard. My heart right now is heavy for the Church of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? My heart is heavy for the Church of Jesus Christ. Because teachers of the people cause them to err. This created a loveless, selfish gospel of get people. Our churches and country, they became so mighty out of the gospel preaching, and now we've lost it. That's another cause for mourning I see in the church, compromising, people becoming lax. Self-appointed prophetesses. And they have appeared all over the place. Prophets and prophetesses, and the Bible warns about it. Groups of people. And it says in the end that even almost the elect will be fooled. Why? Because it looks good. Sort of a Christian women's lib movement also. No authority. Don't listen to nobody. We get our orders directly from God. See, living the separated life isn't even talked about anymore. Either that or it's bingo and bazaars and drinking on the church grounds, and that's permitted. But always running to someone to receive a word. God, I'm so sick of that. And set somebody down in a chair and they lay hands on somebody and give them a word. If the discerning was really there, they'd say, why don't you mourn with the church so you can rejoice with the church? Why don't you do something? I've been praying over you. I couldn't do that. I couldn't pray over you. Honey, come on in here or go outside. Take care of the kids out there. Are you hearing this? See, you could have the whole world take a communion. Okay, we're going to have a world communion. But what good is a world communion when hearts aren't right? What good would it have a world communion? Everybody wants to get in on a big thing, though. They'd be like, okay, world communion. I want to be in on that. Like hands across America. Half of the money had to go for advertising. Maybe even more. And that was a good cause. It was better than any of the churches done. It was a good cause. But yet it's all vain if it's forgotten the next day. Does anybody ever talk about hands across America now? See? And it's the same way when Christ isn't real to us. You hearing this? It's all vanity, vain to come in and listen and not enjoy, not even partake. Praise God that what you're seeing down here is reality. I'm looking for more reality. I've been in it so long, and I've been fighting it so long, and been ministering so long in the opposite. Well, I'm ready for reality, aren't you? I always preach reality. Somebody hit you in the head with a hammer. Are you going to say ouch, or would that be too negative? Better believe I'm going to say ouch. The guy out here the other day, he had a bottle, and the guy said, don't get next to him, he's got a bottle. He hit you with it. I says, I know how to duck. You got to learn how to duck sometimes. That's reality. I, by faith, believe he won't hit me. Kling! The guy asked me, he says, are you one of them faith preachers? You believe he won't hit you? I said, no, I don't. I, by faith, know that God is going to help me to duck. That's reality. Isn't it? So the whole world can take a communion. It won't make it mean anything if hearts aren't right. Oh, if only the whole church would come to what they profess to be. If every Christian would witness and not be ashamed, oh, how that would affect the world. And so the church is cooling off. In fact, it's cold turkey with cold turkey gravy. You ever have cold turkey with cold turkey gravy? Why? Because of wine sipping? Because of the deeper teachings of God. Deeper teachings. Too much surface teaching. We must have the deeper teachings of God. Deeper. Delve into them. Bend the scriptures. You start bending on the scriptures, they're going to recoil and bang you down, let me tell you. You don't bend scriptures. Praise God for the on-fire Christians, and there's an army of them coming on. And they're standing in protest against the lukewarmers. I think there's a grave cause for mourning in Zion because the services of God's house are neglected. Empty seats in every church. Well, there's a few in here today, as you can see. Soul winners. Where do they send people? Where would you send somebody if they just got their heart, gave their heart to Jesus? Oh, I hate to see them go to them places where they get them into retreats. Okay? You just get this brand new person, he comes in the church. Oh, you're just in time. We're going to have a retreat. Oh, where are you retreating to? These guys have been retreating all their life. They need to be put into harness and be put to work. Well, we're going to retreat in Florida this year. Why is it that the Christians all over are retreating, or they're going down to a Christian heaven on earth? And they buy a place, they'll buy a place, and they put a little plaque up there with their name on it. honorary member for life. I wouldn't buy one of those. The Lord's coming. It might come tomorrow, and you spend $1,000, you might not even make it. And then they preach, God is coming tomorrow. And, well, you can have one. Just think, the rest of your life, you are an honorary member. You can come in here, and you can be here for $1,000. You're an honorary member. You want to go there the rest of your life? I mean, how can you say the rest of your life you're going to take a week or 2 weeks off the rest of your life? Let's say that you live to be 100, and you're going to take off all the rest of your life to go to some particular place and always be there. Isn't that kind of directing God? Well, I can't do this because, remember, I'm an honorary member. Right? Why not be an honorary member in the kingdom of God and give that money to somebody that needs it? Somebody that's mourning and somebody that's suffering and somebody that really needs it. Instead of just paddling your flesh down to some resort someplace where you can just lay there. Hey, guess who's going to be at that meeting? There's going to be the top 10 people. And then this is all right. I mean, you know, and there's going to be this guy and 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 Madam X, and there's going to be all these people there. How about coming where there's some suffering? You know who's going to be there? Jesus is going to be there. That's where he's going to be. Say amen, somebody. That's where he is. Wherever there's suffering, you will find me, Jesus says. How'd you like to be raptured out of one of them places? Are you against all vacation? No, but I don't think you should become an honorary member for the rest of your life. We're so concerned about prisoners that are locked away. How about the sinners that are walking around in chains? How about the guys down there that get on the hobo bus? Do you think they appreciate coming on there? I do. I had a fellow come up to me the other day and says, Pastor Paul, I'm so glad that you're down here. We're so glad your church is down here. Another person gave a testimony and says, I just wanted to say, how is it that you are so patient with all those people? I said, well, go on back in the kitchen. I knocked several holes in the wall back there. I just didn't do it out in front of anybody. See, we got to realize that people are in bondages and they're dragging their chains towards hell, spiritually blind and spiritually deaf, and they continue on while we watch, while we pull our curtains and argue over our doctrinal differences. While we claim better this and better that, how can we bear it? How can we bear to do such a thing? How can we go on neglecting souls every day? We need to cry out, oh Lord, how long before thou wilt put forth thy saving power? Okay, now we have mourned long enough. There's a time of rejoicing, and I'll close with it. The word says, we may rejoice with Jerusalem, that is, the chosen of the Lord. And Psalm 63 and 7 says like this, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. A couple of nights ago, even last night, I thought, Lord, what next? And I did what David did. I read this scripture. I did the same thing. I read my spiritual diary. And I saw where the Lord had delivered in the past, and I thought, what makes you think God can't deliver in the future? And I came back under his wings, and when I got under his wings, I started to rejoice. Preacher, if you're listening to me today, start to rejoice. Go back under those wings that sheltered you for so long and through so many storms and trials. And another reason for joy is the Bible says we may expect the Lord to appear. Isaiah 66 and 5 says like this, he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. I look for this in my very own ministry. I remember one time in this church, maybe some of you in here, maybe you're listening on the radio, maybe you're the ones that called, and I had a TV thing going on, and I asked for aid from anybody that would give me aid. I was on three different channels. Did you know we never got one nickel in? Well, that didn't discourage me because God did it in another way. But people called for weeks on end, and they said, Pastor Paul, is this you? I said, yeah, this is me. I mean, is it really you? Are you? Where are you at? I said, well, what number did you call? Well, does it ring to your house? I said, no, it rings right here at the church. You mean you're still in the church? I said, yeah. Well, the church is still open? I said, yes. You mean it's still active? I said, mm-hmm. And they went on and on and on. I said, brother, I said, I'm still in the church. What do you want me to say? Why don't you come down and find out? And you know something? I'm still in the church now, and you're still in this church now. Who do you suppose is working on it? Who do you suppose is bringing in this multitude, millions of pounds of food to feed the hungry? What do you suppose happens to me when I see it comes in? I've mourned with people, and now I'm rejoicing with people. We had to mourn. Go ahead and mourn. You know, every dog has his day, right? I think there's the greatest light of revival coming like this world has never seen before, and I think the Church of Jesus Christ is going to come together in such a real, realistic way, and the gospel message will be preached unto all the ends of the earth. You're going to see a powerful, anointed preachers coming up, gospel preachers like never before, and you're going to see a turning around of people like you've never seen before, just before the great and awful coming of the Lord. You're going to see so many people come to Christ, you would not believe it. There are going to be such dedicated saints coming in and people of God coming in here right now. I won't mention names. I'm dealing with an organization in St. Paul and one in Minneapolis. They're going to come in here and start to send people in here and train them as missionaries. Isn't that exciting? I'm not talking about one or two people. I'm talking about tens of thousands of people. Is that encouraging to you? I believe we are about to be aroused when the Lord shall put on strength, it says, then shall his church be aroused, and God's arm is bared now. He's rolled up his sleeve now. It goes on, before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she delivered a man-child. The Lord can soon bring upon his church her fruitful birth pangs and make a barren woman into a house. Folks, the work down here, I believe, is 10 months pregnant. We're overdue. I believe there is a birth coming on. You're seeing birth pangs right now. God is birthing a brand new creative idea, and something in my heart is stirring as people are calling and ministries of helps are calling, glory to God, and creative ideas are coming on, and people are being saved, and lives are being changed, because it says in the Bible, in my trouble, I built the house for the Lord. In my trouble, keep right on building when you're in trouble. Because the new brand new revived church is going to agonize over lost souls. Because the resurrected church is about to stand up and shake off all those death clothes. Aaron's rod, it says, in the end, is going to blossom again. His fold shall be filled, and there shall be the great sound of bleeding sheep. Get ready for an increase. Get ready for one. The true church is about to be aroused. It says in the end, the low, base, perverted things of the world are going to come forth to confound the wise. And it says the outcast will raise up. And so we rest in the Lord and sing with a joyful confidence that no good thing will be withheld. God isn't going to withhold one single solitary thing from this work. Nothing will be withheld to see this work go on, and God will get all of the glory. Say amen sometime. Listen, Dove is going to be out to the fair out there. They're going to be playing four times. Not once, not twice, but four times. They're going to be at the Crossroads Chapel. Who do you suppose lined that up for them? Well, the Lord did. Proving His power. Blessing their ministry. Are you hearing this message? Let me close with this. The 21st verse says, God will raise up men fitted to do His work. I came into this work down here. Now, I mean, maybe my whole life was getting me fit to do this kind of work. Would you agree that everybody would probably not be fitted for this type of work? Do you believe that God raises up men that are fitted for certain types of work? Now, here's our meek, mild, beautiful person over here that goes on the hobo run. Is everybody fitted for that work? No. Is everybody fitted to do the preaching in this area? No. To do mission work in this area? No. But you people are being fitted for it. And when the Holy Spirit visits the church, you know what He's going to give? He's going to give gifts and special anointings, special calls. Every man, woman, and child will witness. Every child shall save souls. Say amen, somebody. I remember early in my ministry that everybody that came to my church was a soul winner. Is the truth. You kids were out there at Brooklyn Park. You know everybody was soul winning. They were going into the schools. They were going all wherever they went, they were soul winners. Is that not true? Wherever the products of this preaching went, they won souls. What happened? What happened? Did we come into the light fantastic? Did we have a division in thought? Is there anything more important than saving souls? Wasn't there a lot of joy? There's a lot of joy in bringing in souls. That's why there's so much deadness all over. No one is preaching, bringing in the soul, bringing in the sheaves. Thank you for taking me to that funeral the other day. A little bit of suffering with those people and all them souls came to know Christ. Oh, that's exciting. Revive me. Thank you, Lord, for downstairs I'm able to lead people to the Lord. People that are mourning down there. People that are losing their homes. People that have been ripped off. Grandmothers that are taking care of children. Realize how many grandmas are taking care of children? Praise God for grandmas. Huh? Praise God for grandmas? How many can say, praise God for grandmas? Is that your grandma there? Of course, you better say praise God for grandma then. Is this the little girl that I led her to the Lord? It's been a while. Praise God. Oh, yeah. And we just take that for granted, see, bringing in souls. God doesn't. You know who keeps an account? God does. One time, and I'm not a visionary type of thing, but I was really feeling guttural sounds in my gut, and I was, you know, crying out to the Lord and so on like that, and just kind of pondering things and so on like that. And I had this in my head. And you were all in heaven. And I got up there and I was a shaking and a quaking for all the things that I didn't do. And much to my surprise, the name came Disciples Ministry. And they got real, real quiet. And he says, all those that were saved through, directly or indirectly, through Disciples Ministry, come forward. Man, I bawled like a baby. I could not count them. There were so many of them. It was a sea of people. I mean, there was millions through the tape ministry, and people from all different parts of the country, and people from the radio ministry, and people from people like yourself that led people to the Lord that were taught to how to save, get people saved, and so on 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 and so on. And here was all of these people, the fruit of your labors. You know what? Churches get credit for that. Bodies get credit for that. Every work that's going on down here, God is watching right now. Everything is. Are you going to be obedient to your own life? Give your life away? What does that mean, give your life? That means give your life. You know, God is watching everything that's happening, every movement. God, I'm so excited because we are in the throes of great revival. Isn't that precious? We're in the throes of that. Oh, last week was such a boon to me. All of these things that are promised to be coming in. Oh, and now, brother going out and getting six reefers for me? Praise God. I don't know how he's going to do it. With plug-in refrigeration units on? Praise the Lord. Nothing like laying a job on somebody, huh? But I'll be out there, too. I'm going to be calling, too. Hello, this is Pastor Paul from the Disciples Ministry Church Mission. Just wondering if you can help me. I got all this food that's coming in. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm just saying this now. Got all this food's coming in for the poor down here. If you've got any kind of a tractor trailer, you could bring over here and park over here, and we'll give you a tax write-off or whatever you want for that. Just bring it over here. I don't know what to do with all this food. Got all these hungry people. You haven't got one? Would you call? Could you name someone that would have one? Click, brr. Oh, sir, I'm ringing you back again. We got disconnected somehow. What's that, sir? Oh, sir, don't talk that way. Click, brr. Hello, sir. I can't believe what I heard. I know you're going to help me. You're just having a hard time saying yes, aren't you? You got to be persistent. Obnoxious, even. Well, you know what? It works, because all people, when they're hedged in and they're put it to them, they have a breakdown. They do. They have a breakdown. You hit on them hard enough and long enough, they're going to have a breakdown. I told one guy, and I told you this before, but new people here, I'll say it again. One guy, he sweared and everything else on the phone. I don't believe in helping the poor. I don't believe in none of that. I think you'd go out. I am a self-made man and all that. And I said, well, I'll call you back tomorrow. I says, I'll pray about it. Don't call me back. Clack, brr. So I didn't call him back for 2 days. So actually, it was 3 days. So when I called him back, he was in such a weakened condition from not sleeping that he gave me everything I needed. He was waiting for me to call back so he could tell me off. I did call back. I waited 2 more days. It was 3 days, man, without sleep. I mean, he was ready to come out of the tomb by then, let me tell you. Okay, is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Anyone? Anybody in the balcony? Don't hang over, folks. Don't fall down. Oh, I can dream, can't I? Do you kids know Jesus as your personal Savior? They don't? Come on with me. Come on with me, sweets. Come on, honey. Come on. Come on. Come on, kids. Come on. Yeah, you can go with them. You can come with them. Come on, honey. You help them out. Come on. Come on, forsake not the little children. Come on to me. Such belongs the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you for joining the podcast. That was the conclusion. Episode 194, that was part two, Rejoicing and Mourning, Our Privilege. Be sure to check out the scripture links that are located at Pastor Paul's blog, which is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And you can also subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast on the homepage. Next Friday, May 20th, Episode 195, Part 1, The Natural Mind Hates God. Be sure to join us. And in the meantime, God bless you and have a great week.
You got to move. You got to move. You got to move, child. You got to move. Oh, when the Lord get ready.